Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On today's UFC Unfiltered, Jimmy is not here, but Jamie English is here. And I'm so happy you're here, Jamie English.
Thanks very much, man.
We also have the great Paul Felder calling in. We have Forrest Griffin, former champ, Hall of Famer Forrest Griffin calling in.
Amazing.
And we also have Macy Barber, fresh off her win over the weekend. She's brilliant. Calling in also.
Excellent.
Her nickname's The Future.
Excellent.
It's going to be a great show.
Exciting.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again.
He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
How long can I do that before we just lose all the listeners?
They're already gone.
Huh?
Keep doing it.
Who's that next to me? Say your name.
Apparently, I'm Jamie English.
You are Jamie English. And for that, you get that.
Thank you very much.
Jamie English. All right? I'm just staring at you now. I stare too long. It's weird. Can we start over? No, we're already off running. All right. Listen, everybody. I think you guessed what. You figured out what's up. Jimmy is gone. For good.
No,
died.
No.
Nah, he's not dead.
It's not the smell.
All right. I don't want people to get upset or celebrate. Depends on who's fucking listening. Nah, Jimmy is off somewhere. Chris, the producer, where's Jimmy? You don't know, do you?
No, I do. His radio show is in Los Angeles.
His radio show is in Los Angeles. Oh, I'm so cool. Yeah, fuck your show, Jimmy. Fuck your show. I see where your loyalty is. You and that little Sam Roberts. No, I'm only kidding, Jimmy. I'm not a hater. I want his show to, you know, he just re-signed over there at Sirius.
Oh, okay.
Come on, gives a fuck. Let's talk MMA.
Sounds serious.
how you been?
I've been good, mate, yeah.
Have you been?
Yeah,
talk to me. I run into you pretty much everywhere.
I know.
When it has to come to do with fights.
Yeah.
You know? The fuck was that?
Don't worry, it won't be in the final.
Though. All right, so the people at home aren't going to hear that
ping.
That email ping. No.
That was just
email
me having ping. An idea.
Right? I thought so. I thought we were like doing the old telepathy.
It does not very often.
So you've been busy, Jamie English?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yeah.
Training a lot of people?
Yeah, I've been training a few of the lads, getting some people ready for fights and stuff.
I like when you say lads.
The lads.
I can't get away with that shit.
And some of the ladies as well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of fights lately. Did you catch the fights over the weekend?
I did, yeah.
You didn't see that shit coming, did you?
Oh, my word. That was pretty impressive.
Did you ever see a finish like Yair Rodriguez did to the Korean Zombie? I like, by the way, how it says during the thing, it doesn't even say his real name, it just says Korean Zombie during
the exactly.
Fucking, yeah. You know what I mean? When it has their names up there.
Yeah, Zombie.
It's Zombie.
Yeah.
What, did you ever see a finish, an elbow? Did you ever see an elbow like that?
Nothing in such a spectacular, area. You know what I mean? Like, it was huge, a huge fight like that, and then you're like, wow.
That elbow, that's not for everybody.
Nope.
How do you know? Have you seen that before in Muay Thai like that?
No, not really.
Right?
Yeah, no, not from that position.
Jamie, you've been around, Jamie.
I have been around.
Thailand?
Yeah.
Okay. I do.
A few times, yeah.
Let me tell you, I just, I don't know what to say. And then the way it ended, you could not have, if that was a movie, they wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah, exactly.
The way he, like, the face planted at the bell, like, it was.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was like he landed that elbow, which you couldn't believe anyway. And then as he's in midair falling, the siren goes and the round's over. Unbelievable.
Did I mention that we're going to have Macy Barber calling in?
Oh, that's cool.
She's the young lady that fought the other night.
She had a great fight.
She's a little murderer.
Mate.
I'll tell you.
She's very aggressive.
She is made for this. And what I see with her from walking out to the fight itself is that for a 20-year-old competitor, new to the world stage, you'd never know it. I mean, she has her nerves seem to be really good. like you know what I mean?
She
does not
seem
out of her element.
Yeah,
she seems in her element.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, she gave you that impression. Like as you said, she just possesses that confidence, and it obviously showed up in the octagon from that performance.
Now, she's 20 years old. And she started training. How old was she when she started training? I was trying to look at my notes.
I think she was like 3 or 4. she started doing karate.
Baby, yeah.
And now she's a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Henner and Hiron Gracie.
Yeah.
You know, after this fight, and we're going to talk about all the fights, but after this fight, she did call out. She called out Diaz.
Mackenzie Dern. Yeah.
Mackenzie Dern. What the fuck am I talking about? Diaz.
No, because that's her dad's name.
Diaz. That is her dad's name. Hey. Thank goodness. I was thinking of Megaton Diaz. He saves me sometimes.
He does.
Because sometimes I could be like a lost little person. Huh? Not a lost little bird. Jimmy's my bird.
Jimmy's
the
bird.
Yeah. Little lost little bird. Always says he's going to train, but I got to get up early, he says. He's got a man up.
He's got to do something.
He does something in the afternoon. He does some push-ups. All right, let's get back to the fight.
Push-ups.
He tries to do that. But Mackenzie Dern, man, there's levels to this shit. Now, I want to ask her. I want to ask Macy, is she ready for the ground game of Dern? I mean, the Dern.
That's a big test.
She's hot. She's world class on the floor.
Yeah, it's a big
test. And she throws some shit standing up. She's not. Who did she just lay out?
I'm looking it up.
I know, because I don't want to say the wrong name and disrespect somebody, because there were so many girls that just fought recently, and they're all... I was just thinking of the girl fights.
Oh, it was Amanda Cooper. She
It was Amanda Cooper.
Right, but it was a submission finish, but she did catch her.
She caught her with a right hand, and Cooper just had a really good fight with...
Ashley Yoder.
With Ashley Yoder. Yeah. Let's get into the fights, because otherwise we're going to bring up a fight and go all over the
place. Well, wait, I was just going to say, though, about the Mackenzie Dern. I mean,
talk to me.
It's not locked in, obviously, but if, you know, Macy's trying to call out Mackenzie Dern, who has the bigger advantage? Does Macy have a bigger striking advantage over Mackenzie, or does Mackenzie have a bigger jiu-jitsu advantage over Macy? You know, like whose skill translates better against the other one? That's really the interesting thing.
Yeah, but you know, Mackenzie Dern doesn't fight like a scared, you know,
no
jiu-jitsu person. Right. Like, you know what I mean? A grappler that's scared to get hit.
Yeah.
She actually throws and commits. That's why she hurt Cooper,
yeah.
who was the superior. You can make the same. Look at, she had a good fight with Yoda. I just like saying Yoda. It's Yoda.
Yeah.
It is Yoda. I'm not touching that joke with a fucking geeky 10-foot pole. But I was happy for Yoda, by the way. Didn't she have some tough calls?
Yeah, for sure. And that was her first UFC win.
It was, but she had some fights that were very close.
Yeah, unanimous decision losses to Justine Kish, Angela Hill, and then she had a split decision loss to Mackenzie Dern, which I thought Mackenzie won that fight, but it was very, very close, obviously.
Yeah.
So she needed this win. Yeah. Holy shit, good, did she need this win.
Yeah, but she's always game.
She's always game. And so, but Cooper was game too.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad fight.
No. No, this is a great night of fights, actually.
There's one thing I noticed throughout the night, and it happened also with... Show me this card for a second. Where is the undercard? I'll look. I'll find. When I see the name, I'll know it. You know what I'm talking about. There you go. How did you know I was thinking of this? Joseph Morales. How did you know I was thinking of this, motherfucker?
You know what?
That is so weird.
I know
But
you,
this
man.
Is what I was going to say, because I believe it happened with Yoda also, is going to your back with a guillotine, okay, with a guillotine choke.
Right.
It could cost you... around, it could cost you the fight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and that seems this that was the case here with Joseph Morales, and I liked that Eric Shelton, who they're saying that he, because he's working with the American Top Team now, correct?
Yeah.
That he's been adding in like these takedowns. That's not what his, that's not really his bread and butter. You know what I mean? That, from what I got or from it, what did you, his what is, give me Eric Shelton's record in the UFC if you could.
Yeah, he's 2-3 in the UFC. So that was his second win.
Second,
but he's 2-3. He's won two of his last. He's won two of his last three fights. So
okay, how did he win and how did he lose? If you don't mind.
He has a split decision loss to Alexandre Pantoja. He has a split decision loss to Jared Brooks. He has a decision win over Janelle Loaiza. A decision loss to Alex Perez, and then he just has the split decision over Justin. All right, Reynolds.
That was a split. I was surprised it was a split. And the split, yeah, one guy gave I think all three rounds to Joseph Morales.
Yeah.
If I'm correct with that.
Yes. Curtis,
so I remember being like, what the fuck?
Curtis Thrasher, I'm looking at, had a 30-27 Morales over Shelton.
Really, Curtis? Really? Did you see that fight I'm talking about?
I didn't see
it. Well, this might have been on the Fight Pass prelims. It was on the Fight Pass.
Yeah, this was an early one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I didn't see that. But the one thing I did notice, and Joseph's a young fighter. He'll pick up from this. And this is one thing that one of my guys picked up from, and it cost him in his Caraway fight, was Aljo Sterling, because Aljo's got a nasty guillotine, man. Yeah. He wraps up a neck.
Yeah.
Usually a wrap, you know what I mean? But you have to know, like, there's certain guys, and Master Henzo comes to mind, Ricardo Almeida comes to mind.
Yeah.
When they get a bite of that neck, it could be over. It's you know, game over. Right. And there's some guys that know, and the how you know that is if you're getting it locked up in training over and over and getting the submission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where this gets all worked out.
Right.
It's not saying, all right, I have a good bite on the neck. Let me take a chance and see if I can submit him.
Right.
Man, you're on the world stage. Guys are going to, their head, unless they're in the quick tap club, that thing could be about to pop off. If that thing's not set in, then you're going to lose position. Now you got a guy on top of you, and it's not just like in class where it's, all right, I'm going to work my guard. Now a guy's elbowing you in the fucking face.
Yeah.
So, and again, in the UFC, in the setting in the MMA and in the UFC with these rounds, now you're on the back and now you got a 3 minutes left, whatever it is. Now you just got to fight to get up. Now you,
and it's,
you know,
hard
what I mean?
And it's hard to win from the bottom, though.
No,
because if like you get that position, like you just said,
the Cowboy Cerrone. No, we'll get to that.
Christ,
later.
Yeah.
But no, man.
With exceptions, of course.
No. It truly is, because guys got their antennas up for what's going on down there.
Right.
But, you know, I saw with Joseph, there were some times when Eric was going to take him down, when he had a nice bite on that neck. And listen, if he would have secured one of these things, what's up?
We got Macy Barber a little earlier.
Oh, is she on the phone now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna put her on right now.
All right.
That's awesome.
Macy, you there?
Yeah, I am.
What's up, Macy Barber? You're with Matt Serra and Jamie English. How are you?
Hey, Macy.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I can't complain. Macy, first of all, congratulations on your fight. That was awesome.
Thank you so much. It felt awesome.
Now, the one thing I was just saying before you called in here to my buddy Jamie is how comfortable you looked, not only in the octagon, but on your way to the octagon. How your nerves, have your nerves always been so good?
Yeah, they actually have, which is kind of a little weird to me. Sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting there the week of the fight and I'll be like, why am I not nervous? You know, why am I not? Like, sometimes it'll feel like I'm not even fighting until like the day of, or the day of. And I'm like, why do I feel like this isn't happening? But it's just like, I let the nerves come the weeks before fight week. Like, but then again, like, when they come, I just know that I need to train a little bit harder, you know, because you shouldn't have nerves and you shouldn't be nervous if you're giving everything you have, you know.
That's first of all, it's an excellent outlook. I mean, I've been in the locker room with many warriors that would that don't share the same philosophy, or else they're just not as cool as a cucumber as you were. I mean, I've been there with guys that you would never know it. Even George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that stuck with me, Macy, when I was on the Ultimate Fighter. They'd bring back before you were born. Not only, but it was really ages ago. Tough Four. And I remember George St. Pierre was talking to Randy Couture, and we were all sitting around talking after practice, and he was saying, He was asking Randy about the nerves, you know? And Randy was giving an answer pretty much the way you're giving an answer. Like, no, I'm pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
And George, who's a very honest guy, was going, oh, in the locker room, I'm always like, why can't I have a regular job? Why do I do this? And then he walks out of the tunnel. Once he gets out there, he says it leaves him. And he's good and he's happy, smiling. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of go, but they're not like, I just try to breathe through, you know, like if I start to get nervous, I'm just like, you know, take a couple deep breaths. And that's when you know that I am getting a little bit nervous, yeah. But then take a couple breaths and then I'm right back to being you can tell when I'm about to like cut weight or when I'm about to go and do a fight because I get really sarcastic, even though I'm like already sarcastic. Yeah. I just get extra sarcastic. But yeah, I mean, I just try to enjoy it. You know, I mean, it's something that I chose to do and I'm not going to ever let it, you know, it's like a roller coaster. You know, you want to get on a roller coaster because you know that you're going to have a ton of fun. But at the same time, when you're looking up and you're like, oh man, am I really going to get up and go to the top of this thing and know that it's going to drop me however many thousands of feet and I'm going to be freaked out and I'm going to have this terrible feeling, and then you get off the roller coaster and you're like, man, let's do that again, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So, I mean, I chose to do it, and it's something I'm going to do, and that's a good feeling is knowing that you overcame any little bit of uncomfortable, anything that's uncomfortable in the situation, so...
Now, when
I can't enjoy it.
Nah, that's awesome. It looks like you're having a freaking party in there. Now, I can't say the same for I can't say the same for your opponents though. Holy shit! Now, with the karate, did you start competing at an early age?
So I started training in karate at like 3 years old, and there was just something that my family and I did together. My parents put my sister and I in it, and We grew up in it for a long time, and I tried a couple other sports. You know, I did some jump rope, I did some soccer. It's not a sport, but I even like did like cooking classes and stuff like that. And I just always like grew up doing a couple different things that I enjoyed doing, and karate was just one of them that stuck with me. And we eventually, when I was like 13 in 2010, I don't know if I was 13 in 2010. I don't know. I can't math right now, but
that's all right.
Yeah, in 2010 we opened our own gym and we taught karate, and we eventually transitioned to jiu-jitsu, and when we transitioned to jiu-jitsu, that's when I started competing in competitions. And I did a couple of like karate like point sparring competitions, but you know, for they had the rules where every time you threw a kick, or every time you threw like two punches, you had to throw a kick. So I kind of got disqualified because, you know, I didn't know the Taekwondo style of being able to just like throw kicks. No. So that wasn't my thing. And so I just continued to compete in jiu-jitsu. And then eventually, you know, I was like, I want to fight and I want to do my amateur debut. So I made my amateur debut at 18 and we just kept going from there.
Macy, when you first started doing jiu-jitsu, how did you take to it?
You know, I loved it. I started it with my sister. We did, we would do online training, so we would watch training videos, and then we'd practice these techniques together. And we learned that way. We got our blue belts that way. We would film our techniques, and we would send them out to California to the Gracie Academy, and they would grade it, and then they would send it back. So that's how we learned. And I loved it. My sister was not very comfortable. You know, she didn't like the ground stuff. She was way more technical in the standing aspect of the training. And I was good at the ground fighting. So I've always enjoyed it a ton. You know, wrestling and grappling, it's been my thing. But I love striking. I'd much rather knock someone out or drop some elbows on someone than choke them out. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is, you know?
Do not be sorry.
I don't know why. It's just something that I enjoy doing, you know?
Hey, listen, do not be sorry. Heck, I love jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's in my blood, but I got the title with punching somebody in the mouth. I'm with you. Macy, I am with you with that.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't have any ill, like, like any disrespect towards the people that yeah. I fight or reasons to like not like them necessarily, but yeah. but when I get done with a fight, I want that person to wake up the next day and be not just feel like they were in a fight. I want them to be like, you know, when you look in the mirror, you're like, wow, I was, you know, I lost, like I lost, like there's no question about it that I won and you lost, you know, like I want to be able to wake up and be looking at my own head and be like, all right, hey, I look okay. You know, I might not feel fantastic all the time, but I at least have that sense of, you know, that's just an extra good feeling for me to be able to know that someone else woke up and they're like, man, I didn't win that one, you know?
Yeah, they had a rough night is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then I'm like, after like a week, can they just go away and they feel great again? You know, yeah. you don't want them to feel bad forever. You kind of feel bad.
That's sweet of you. No, this is really huge. Now, your jiu-jitsu, you're telling me you were part of the Gracie University, what Henner and Hiron do like through the online training, correct?
Yeah, my sister and I learned we got our blue belts and we eventually got our purple belts. And we ended up going through all the curriculum that they have online and we kind of ran out of curriculum. So we would just look up, you know, random videos on YouTube and learn that way.
Wow.
And then to continue on, you know, I started working with Ryan Schultz on my wrestling about 4 years ago. And going from jiu-jitsu, I mean, jiu-jitsu teaches you to be comfortable on your back, especially the Gracie system. So that's the only flaw that I see, you know, is they teach amazing punch protection. That's the best street self-defense. But the problem with it is it teaches you to be comfortable on your back. And when I started training to fight, that was the very first thing that Ryan Schultz told me. He's like, no, we need to get you off your back because, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel, how comfortable you are. You're in a losing battle when you're on the ground. You know, someone's on top of you. I mean, he's like, you got to get off your back. I don't want you trying to go for submissions. You're going to get off your back and you're going to get on top. And that's something that I've carried on even in this last fight. You know, she had my leg across her body and I was like, either she's going to get up on top of me or I'm going to get up on top of her. And I was like, there's no way she's getting on top of me. So I'm going to, I pushed through and I may have, tore my knee a little bit. Because I was like, I'm not going to be on the bottom. So I was like, I got to get on top. And
that's smart.
I got on top and I got the position. But yeah, so wrestling and grappling is something I added and then we just continued on from there.
That is fantastic. Now there's two trains of thought on that there. Now it is important though that you do have that defense on your back. And also,
absolutely. Oh, yes.
And also, like you've seen Cowboy's fight, correct? With that slick submission, arm lock.
I did. That was really really good. I was so happy for that. I've done not quite like that. He did it way better than I could ever do that. But I've done an arm ball like that, and I got slammed one time.
Yeah.
And then I broke the girl's arm, but whew. Ooh, yeah, that was slick.
If they ever go to lift you up, you know to grab under that leg so they can't get much distance with your head over.
Exactly, and you rotate under and they can't drop you as much.
Yes, and you mess with the balance. Look, I'm hitting the applause button because you know what the heck you're talking about. Look at this, 20 years old. That's so awesome.
I know, I watch. I pay attention, you know.
And now, when did you decide to make this your career? Because you're 20 years old. There's kids right now going, you know, I'll look for a job tomorrow, Mom. They're in the basement still. And you're on the world stage. When did you say to your parents or to your, whoever around that this is what I want to make my life?
When I started training, you know, I knew that martial arts was going to be my life because I just enjoy it so much. There's so much for you to learn and so many different ways to grow. I'm an artistic person and a very creative person and to be able to have something in my life where, you know, you can be active and you can be fit and do something that's going to keep you healthy and it's going to give you the ability to continuously grow and you're going to be able to make money at it. I mean, I feel like that was like something I looked at, you know, just in martial arts in general, that was, you know, whether it was, I thought I was just going to be a karate teacher eventually and that's the way it was going to go. But when I started training jiu-jitsu, I was like, wow, no, I want to do jiu-jitsu. And then when I started training MMA, I was like, nope, I want to do this. And when I started doing that, I was like, there is so much that you can do with MMA. I mean, there's so many different things. You know, you, it doesn't matter how good your jab is, it can always be better. You know, it doesn't matter how good your low kick is, it can always be a little bit faster or a little bit. So I feel like that was really important for me to see. And once I realized that, you know, I also realized, and my parents gave me the support, and they continued to push me towards my dream because they also saw the opportunity. You know, I've given this life at 20 years old. I like to think I'm very level-headed, and I'm very smart in the sense of, you know, I realized that I was given an opportunity in a life to do something huge with my life, and to not only be successful and make a ton of money, but make a big impact in other people's lives. I'm not about to go and waste that opportunity for anything. You know, I have a lot of people asking me, they're like, well, what about a boyfriend? What about, you know, going out to the movies with friends or partying, or when you turn 21, you know, you're going to want to go out and, you know, start drinking and stuff. I'm like, no, you know, I mean, if I don't try drugs and I don't try alcohol, I'm never going to have to, you know, first of all, that's not the way I was raised. And second of all, I mean, that's not, if I don't try it, I don't know what I'm missing out on. And if I'm not missing out on that, I don't have to spend money on it. So, I feel like that's kind of how I view a lot of stuff right now. You know, I can spend the next 8 to 10 years of my life and dedicate my entire life to, being successful. And you know what, in 8 to 10 years, I'll still be a kid. I'll be 28 or 30 and I'll have all my life ahead of me, and I'll be able to be young, and I'll have money to be able to have the freedom to do what I want to do. And, I'll have opportunities to continue on with the sport and help other people in the sport, and to do other things. You know, even if it's not fighting, I can still have, certain other pieces of the sport in my life. So, there's just so much opportunity and so many different things that I can do with this. And I'm not going to waste it, you know. It'd be a shame.
Jamie English, I just realized that being the father of three young girls, I have to talk to Macy's parents and make sure I can get some tips, basically. Because they did a great job, Macy, your parents. You make sure that you tell them I gave them applause.
Yeah, that's fine.
Matter of fact, just so I'm not...
I know, I'm sure they're listening. So.
Oh, good. I hope they are.
They're probably like, uh-huh.
I was going to hit the applause button, but I just freaking messed up my thing here. But anyway, you just tell them that
I
hit.
Too late.
That's
you can
okay.
Still hit right now.
Ready? You tell them that I hit. This is for your parents on the job they did. Yeah. Well, look at this.
That's okay.
The manners.
Hey, mine. Head on. Mine for being the good kid that listened to them.
Yes. You deserve that. Yeah. Jamie English, what do you want to ask?
I had a question. Yeah, definitely, for sure. Macy, congratulations on a great, you know, performance there. I was very impressed with a number of things. Obviously, Matt mentioned your confidence, and that was a very clear, decisive thing in there, because what you were doing well, and you can't do things well without confidence. That's the primary thing for me. And then you had a great cage awareness. I noticed you were very very attentive to when you were close to the cage, and you were able to spin and turn your opponent towards the cage several times. When you were pressed against the cage, you were doing really good work and solid defense as well as offense, and you were able to transition from your weapons, I thought, really intelligently. You would kick at the correct distance when you were at distance, and your kicks were effective. You'd be clinching, and out of those clinches you threw some, again, obviously nasty elbows from those breaks, which, in again, from my view, takes a considerable bit of experience, which, you know, you don't necessarily on paper seem to have that kind of experience, and yet you were showing and expressing really solid transitions from the kick into the clinching to the elbows. And then when you're on the ground, another great expression of confidence, not panicking, not rushing, and then picking those shots from the top with those devastating elbows, which eventually caused the fight to be stopped. This is very impressive from my side. I mean, I watched a lot of fights, I coach people, but you know, whatever you're doing there, I think is very good. And especially your cage awareness. That's not something that you see so often, you know.
Right, for a 20-year-old competitor.
Yeah, it's
thank
very
you.
Impressive. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah. I just, you know, I mean, you're gonna fight how you train. And we train for everything, you know. I don't consider having camps, you know. I'm not like I'm in camp, you know.
Right.
I'm an all year round, you know. I haven't stopped training since I started.
Now,
it's not something, you know, you start training and then you're like, you get done with the fight, you're like, oh, time to go party, time to go, take it off, take a few months off. I'm like, no, this is, you just want to fight. Now it's time to look at that fight and see where you need to improve and then improve. And I feel like my comfort, you know, I may not have the most fights, but I train day in and day out, just like I'm going to go and fight. So, when you do something over and over and over again, you know, it becomes second nature. It's like writing your name, you know, if you don't write your name ever, you're never going to know how, like, you're never going to be comfortable with it. But if you do it all the time, you know, you don't even think about it when you spell your own name. You're like, oh, that's how you sell it. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the same way with training and fighting. I mean, if you want to be comfortable in the fight, you got to be comfortable in training and being able to do it like you could do in your sleep.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Macy, you called out Mackenzie Dern. Now, tell me about the thought process behind that. Now,
the thought process in terms of the reason why I called her out,
100%.
My views on how the fight will go.
Both. I want to know both.
Yeah.
The world wants to know.
Well, I called her out, and I've said this in several different interviews, and I'm sure it's probably gonna get repetitive and boring to
No. This is gonna reach the most people. Trust me.
Yeah.
LFA. When I fought in LFA, so I made my amateur debut. I fought one time as an amateur, and then I tried to get fights, and I couldn't get any fights, so I went to LFA, and LFA took a shot on me and put me on TV on the first fight, my second fight ever, my first pro fight, and I fought with them. And I remember asking them, or them offering me after my debut, they offered me Mackenzie Dern, and Mackenzie Dern didn't want to fight me. And she was, I don't know what the context was or what she said, but she didn't want to fight me. And so they were like, I didn't get to fight her in LFA. And she ended up signing with the UFC, and I know for a fact that I can beat her. And when she got signed with the UFC, I'm like, what the heck? Mackenzie Dern just got signed. I'm like, my turn's coming soon, you know? And now that I'm here, she can't turn down a fight in the UFC. I mean, it just can't happen. You know, you can't keep turning down fights in the UFC if you want to make money and if you want to be a relevant fighter. So she's either got to fight or she's not going to fight.
Sounds like she can run, but she can't hide, right?
I'm sorry?
Sounds like she could run, but she can't hide now, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you can run. I mean, if she doesn't want to fight, I mean, eventually her career in the MMA world is going to be over. That's just the way it goes, you know.
Now,
I definitely want to fight her because she didn't want to fight me in the last fight, and that's a good matchup for me. I mean, she can swing, but she didn't have the technique, and she was so well rounded in jiu-jitsu that her transitions between jiu-jitsu and any other aspect of the game, it just doesn't connect, you know. I picked up that when she's grappling, she has to think about striking, and when she's striking, she can't think about grappling. So it's nothing wrong with like the fact that she just like can't. It's just that she's so late in her career of adding in MMA after doing jiu-jitsu for such a long time that it's not second nature to her, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I'm the athlete that started at 3 years old and did it all. You know, she had a long career in jiu-jitsu that didn't have any striking with it. So the transition is just not there.
Do you feel the level of her jiu-jitsu is a problem if she gets you down, though, or not?
No, I mean, I've competed in a lot of competitions, and I'm not saying I've ever competed. Let's just say when she won the Worlds or when she won whatever, I wasn't there yet. You know, I wasn't there. And it's nothing to do with, you know, me being cocky and being like, hey, I wasn't there, you know, I could have beat her. It's just, I'm 20 years old, you know, I literally was not there. So you never know. I mean, my jiu-jitsu is good, and she was the best when there was a lot of girls, but just like with MMA, I mean, there weren't that many women in the sport, so... I feel like she's a little overrated with the fight in terms of MMA, but we'll see. But yeah, I definitely can hang with her on the ground, and we'll be working on that when we get into camp.
I love it. Well, listen, your nickname is the future, and it is very fitting. It is very fitting, Macy, and we enjoyed so much watching you the other night, and I can't wait to see what's next for you. I hope you get this Mackenzie Dern fight.
Yeah.
That interests me a lot. That'll I think that's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, me too.
And
I think it interests a lot of people, actually. I didn't realize how many people were like, yeah, yes, let's watch that fight, but
Macy wants it. She wants that fight.
She does.
Well, I hope
she hasn't said anything. I don't think she wants it.
Well, listen, when that gets announced, try to come back and come on here and announce that on here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, listen, all our best, okay? Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, all right. Macy. Take care, Macy.
Bye-bye.
You too.
All right. That was great. Listen, she's a little fireball, huh? Well,
she certainly exudes the confidence verbally as well as physically.
Yeah. I don't even, for a person with, and now she's working with Ryan Schultz. Now, it seems like she's doing mostly wrestling. Like, she did that course where she got to a purple belt.
Yeah.
But I don't even think, did she ever meet Henner and Hyren? That doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I guess not.
I don't think she met them.
No, it seems like she did it all online.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I seen some positions when, it's escaping. Who'd she just fight? Not Cooper. That's
Cyphers.
Cyphers, that's right. Cyphers, yeah. No, okay. Cyphers was going for some decent like leg locks and stuff. So I know what she's talking about where she popped her knee. It's probably just a meniscus. Yeah. I've done the same thing in the worlds. I like the mentality, and this is where some jiu-jitsu people are lacking, is the mentality of not losing a position.
Yeah.
Like if you're passing a guard, like when my guys are passing, I go, don't lay down with a leg. You know, don't lay down with a leg. You might get it, or you might lose it, totally lose position. Now you don't have control of the guy. Or you're losing the fight, or the guy gets on top, elbows your face. Right now, I want you to concentrate on passing and controlling. If doing so, and you're looking to pass, and the guy exposes his back, use that to take his back or to better your position. Right. A la Kevin Lee. He does that a lot.
Yep.
Been watching that guy a lot.
I was just going to say. Studying Kevin Lee a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Lee does a nice stack pass into taking the back.
Yeah.
And he's done that with several guys. Anyway, let's not get into my studying of Kevin Lee.
This is also interesting, by the way, when you talk to somebody like a Macy Barber. She only grew up.
Man, she's game.
Only grew up knowing MMA. This. You know what I mean? It's like that's the new kind of breed that you're going
to
see.
Well, it kind of fits in nicely to the narrative where the UFC is 25 years old.
And she's 20 years old.
She wasn't even born when this sport started, which is a very interesting
She'll never situation. Go through what we went through of being like, oh, this is a new martial artist, Jeff Speakman. Oh, man, maybe this guy's the new thing. He can do the thing that Van Damme can't do. He's doing the thing with the hands. We didn't know what the fuck worked. We didn't know what worked. Tiger Kung Fu. That must be cool. You growl?
This guy's a Shaolin
eagle.
Monk.
He's I want to learn Eagle Claw. Yeah. There's Eagle Claw. There was all these cool names for Kung Fus and Five Animal or whatever the fuck it was. And you're like,
sumo
oh, man,
wrestlers.
I want to learn this. Yeah. I started doing Wing Chun with my father, and it was like some forms. I used to just like the sticky hands because that at least was some contact.
Yeah.
But then every time I got to a fight, it would just go right past trapping, and I ended up tackling a kid and putting his head into a locker. Thank God for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Thank you, Gracies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For letting me know what real fighting is.
Hell yeah.
And it's all, for letting us all know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Don't battle me saying Muay Thai is real fighting. I know it is. We're not drawing straws.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank goodness.
You like the striking. I like the grappling. Striking. Grappling.
Striking.
Striking.
Grapple strikes.
Yeah, fuck it. I was going to do a song, but it didn't go.
Do you want to talk about the fights for a couple more minutes, or you want to try Forrest?
Let's get Forrest. Yeah. Not out of the way, because I like Forrest Griffin.
No, yeah, but we could call him right
now. I got to talk to him about something off air, too, but that's off air.
All right.
You know?
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid-pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value. Free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
Striker, grappler, striker, grappler. Let's call the whole thing off. Jamie.
Put me down, Matt. No, put me down.
Just say striker. Just say striker.
Striker.
Grappler.
Striker.
Grappler. Striker. Let's call the whole thing off. Do it with me again. Ready, ready.
Striker.
You got to do it. Could you sing it? Why are you saying it like a fucking crazy Mr. Bean guy? All right, hold on. Listen to me. We got a Hall of Famer on the phone.
No way.
Hey, is this Forrest Griffin?
What's happening, man?
Oh, man. Forrest, how are you, buddy? It's me, Matt Serra. I just like saying my name in the third person.
Man, I'm real good.
And Jamie English. You don't know Jamie, but now you do.
Hello, Forrest.
What's going on, Mr. English?
How's it going?
Dude, what's new, Forrest? How you doing? The UFC's 25-year anniversary. What's going on?
Not much. Not much since your awesome fight, UFC 53. First time I ever saw you fight live, whenever that was. Hey, I have a question, Matt. You had a brother that fought in UFC, right?
Yes.
What the hell ever happened to him?
I don't know, man. We're kind of restrained. We don't talk. Thanks for bringing that up. Why don't you fly to New York and kick me in the nuts while you're at it, Forrest? What are you going to bring up next? My mother that passed? What a fucking prick.
I figured it was going to go one way or another on that. A lot of people don't know that. I remember that.
Hey, listen.
I remember you guys have some good drills, kicking the kick shield, kicks from the ground.
How do you remember this stuff, Forrest?
Defensive guard position. Because this is what I do, man. I just sit around and watch fights all day. You got to be an expert at something. Why not fighting?
Forrest, you're the only guy to fucking make it out of the guys that was still around with the old fucking thing. Because you're a workaholic. You understand? Yeah. That's why I hear good things about you, Forrest.
It's not all by choice. I told you the deal. You know, you show up to meetings, you start doing stuff, and then you create an expectation that you're the guy doing stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, shit, now I got to live up to that. Now I really got to, you know, I'm going to be in China over Thanksgiving. Right now I'm in the middle of like a kind of an important interview, so I got to make this brief. But I mean, just figuring out the best way for the UFC to treat its fighters.
Before we talk about the Performance Institute and what's going on over there, there was something with you and you just, I seen a glimpse. I didn't see the whole thing. I don't know how it went down. I saw a little you and Shaquille O'Neal, and you were grappling. Tell us about that. How'd that come about?
First off, Shaq's a friend of Dana's, actually been to the UFC before. Shot a promo for the UFC. This is the thing about Dana. If you do him a favor, like Donald Trump did him a favor way back when, he never forgot that. Yeah. Shaq, when he was in his heyday, in his prime, when Shaq was arguably more popular than the UFC, he liked the UFC, went to a fight, and shot a promo for them. And so I guess him and Dana have kind of kept in touch ever since. Shaq's shooting this show. They're looking for something interesting to do. Again, like we were just talking about, Force will do it. Hey, we need to jump out of a jet plane. Oh, Force will do it. We need to go to China over Thanksgiving. Force will do it. So, you know, I'm like Mikey likes it. You know, so like, yeah, I'm not so Shaq. I'm always looking for life experiences. I do want to call Shaq out, though. I love him, but he really is such a nice guy. I don't even know how you're that nice when you're that famous. If I had Shaq money, I would be an asshole. But besides the point, he lied about his weight. He is not 330. He was 379.
Are you sure? Did you put him on a scale?
We put him on the scale.
Oh, shit.
It listed me at 240. I wish I was 240. I'm like 220, 218. I'm lighter than when I graduated high school.
How did the match go?
Well, I mean, you know, we started grappling, and I started, and I kind of got him down, and we're kind of hanging out. And then I said, well, you know, this is kind of boring. He scrambled, and I was like, you know, let's see what happens. Let's make it interesting. I let him get on top of me, and the second I did that, I immediately regretted it.
Oh, my good Lord.
You know, so I had my guard closed. I didn't know if I'd be able to close my guard around him, but it didn't do any good. It was like a bad idea. So I couldn't get, like, I couldn't unguard him to get the butterfly or to get the feet on hips or anything. He was so big, and he just reached over and grabbed my head. And there's nothing you're going to do about it, just not even his size and strength, although he's a very strong guy. His length, the length of his torso is unlike anything I've ever messed with before, you know? And so, I was like, man, I almost threw up on Shaquille O'Neal. But I got out of there. We got back, and I want to give props to the big man. I was like, all right, well, there's still a minute left. We're winding down. I'm, you know, kind of pushing and playing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere,
what?
Dug deep, and he rushed me like a bear. Because I did not want to get back on the bottom there. And he finished the round on top. You got to give him that. And then he laid there for 20 minutes, and Claudia almost killed him. Like, Claudia thought he was messing around. He wasn't messing around. He was legit exhausted.
Oh, and that's
Claudia's
funny.
Like choking him, and he's like tapping, and she's just like, this is really hard. And it's like, Claudia, people that are used to getting choked hurts them, okay?
Next time, listen, Forrest, and I know your fights, but you know, I'm old school too. I'm old school. I'm older than you. It sounds funny when I say it. I'm older than you. Murillo Bustamante versus Tom Erickson. If you want to study a fight and you got to go with him again, watch that fight. Did you ever hear of that fight?
I've seen that fight. I remember Bustamante well.
Bustamante was awesome. He was one of my favorites.
So, Tom Erickson was, they called him the big cat. He was the big, giant, goofy wrestler out of Oregon, right?
Worked yes.
out with Randy and those guys.
100%. Yeah. Huge.
So they called him the big cat. It was a joke because he was actually like the most uncoordinated galoot in the world. And he would just hurt people. And right. that was actually Heath Herring's coming out parties when he beat Tom Erickson.
Oh shit, man. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, that fight would have been a pride then. Bustamante and Erickson. I don't think Erickson ever fought in the UFC.
Yeah, that probably was. Yeah, because they fought in something back then, was called Mars something or other. Henzel fought Oleg on the same card.
Oh, yeah,
but he knocked him out. But yeah, in that one, Murillo Bustamante fought Tom Erickson for 45 minutes. And he used a lot of feet and the hips, because you were talking about that guard being non-existent.
Yeah.
So normally with the guard work, it's for guys trying to pass. And this is more of, with the feet and the hips, you know the deal. It's dealing with that forward pressure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. So what's going on? Now, listen, by the way, you brought up my brother. What happened to Stephen Bonner the other day? What happened to your buddy?
Is he all right? It's unfortunate.
That really ups. Listen to me. Hey, Forrest. I'm not taking shots. I like Stephen. That really upset me.
No. Yeah. I know you do. I know it's like genuine concern. You know,
is he okay? Have you spoken to him?
You know, I haven't spoken to him. I've texted a couple times.
I don't like seeing.
I don't honestly even know what to say. You know, I can say this. I was out with him not long before, and I'm drinking because, you know, it's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
Or at least it's not yet.
And shit, then, it's like me with Herb. I don't judge you.
Yeah, well, he wasn't, you know. And I realized that, okay, cool. He realized he has a problem, but apparently he was drinking, and he's just not a person that should drink, because one drink turns into many drinks, you know. I did get pissed, though. They said he had painkillers in the car. It was Celebrex. So it's a non-narcotic, anti-inflammatory, non-steroidal, you know. I was like, he didn't have painkillers. And he did have an AR in his trunk, but he had an AR in his trunk because he shoots regularly at this kind of gun buddies of ours.
Oh.
So he's all into that.
Well, listen.
Or he was. I don't even know if he can do that anymore.
Well, life has up and downs. I just hope he's all right. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think, you know, now that we're, we really are bringing it down, huh? Between the two of us.
We're losing. Dude, come on, man. Forrest, and people like us. They think we're all happy. Can we just bring this?
People are like, I don't listen to this podcast. Sorry. Depressing as hell.
They think that when you're calling in and they know I'm a silly guy, they're probably, oh, this is a fun one. Oh, this is, we're fucking so gloom and doom today, buddy.
I know. I'm blue, right?
Let's get to the Performance Institute. What's going on over there, dude? I gotta explore that place some more when I'm in Vegas. I kind of had a tour. But I don't really.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a fantastic place, man. It's really
what the
good.
Hell?
Top level.
Tell me about what's going on, Forrest. Anything special?
The idea is that we want, you know, any athlete in the UFC to come in to bring us what they do for their training. To bring their MMA coaches and training partners, if possible, you know. And then once you step foot on the door, it's free. So we're going to tell you, you know, your resting metabolic ratio. So just like what fuel source your body prefers, how many calories you burn a day, just being alive, basal metabolism, your VO2 max. So not that these things are that important, but they're all indicators of the type of athlete, of the type of, you know, body that you're working with. And that's influenceable to some extent. So the idea is that you come out, you show us what you're doing. We help you plug sports dietetics, strength conditioning, physical therapy, and even sports science or recovery into it. And, you know, from there, the other thing we do that I can't get fighters to do enough is to come out for 2 or 3 days just to do some linear tracking, right? So am I improving? Am I getting worse? So we can tell you what your organism is, your body, whether it is peaking or, you know, in decline. Right now, you got a guy holding mitts for you, and he says, you feel strong today, kid. You feel strong today. Now, you know, your wrestling partner says, man, you're not that good today. But maybe your wrestling partner's having a great day. There's no, you know what I'm saying, it's all subjective. There's no objective data to your training. We want to provide you with a little objective data. And we feel that if you train around your objective data, you can increase your performance, obviously. Just as important, and I was talking to some PBR guys, professional bull riders, just as importantly, I like to use visiting as an example, although we had nothing to do with that. I wish we did. That's where the bulk of your money is going to be made, the last couple fights of your career. If you can extend your career successfully and win, you know, 3 or 4 fights at the back end, that's when you're going to get paid. That's when you're going to get your retirement money, your money to figure out what you're going to do, to buy you some time to figure out what you're going to do next. And I think that's a lot of what I want to provide to people. You know, I want you to get an extra fight or two out of yourself if you start training right, a little smarter earlier, so you have a little bit of, you know, financial leeway to figure out your next great passion, right? That was pretty good. You can tell I've said that before.
That was a good pitch.
I just read that off the script.
Right? You got a teleprompter there? Now, you're talking about one last fight. No, I agree with you with those, because I had some decent fights towards the end. But now, speaking of one more fight, you're 39 years old.
Some of that was the market changing, too, you know?
What's it? Yeah. Listen, I shocked the fucking world, but that's not the point.
Let's not talk about that.
Listen, Hall of Famer. I know.
You beat arguably the greatest guy ever.
Frank Trigg. No, seriously. No, Frank Trigg is the greatest fighter of all. Fucking. I'm sorry about that. Why do I keep attacking that motherfucker?
I know. You already beat him up a couple times, man. I don't know. You're like a sore winner with that guy.
Listen to me. Hey, Forrest.
Every time you see him repping a fight, you're upset.
Hey, if you were Italian and 5'6", and that motherfucker called you Snooky, you would have fucking, you'd be upset too. All right? Sorry, Forrest. I'm sorry. And not only that, when I talk to you, it does bring back memories that you wanted him to win. And I don't want to bring that up again. But now you know it hurt. It hurt me, Forrest, because I like you so much. I arguably like you more than you like me.
No, I like you a lot. Here's the thing. I've liked you longer than you've liked me.
Oh, that's not true. Shit.
I do remember the first time we met, though. I know this sounds weird and very whatever, bromance. But I remember the first time you said anything to me. Do you remember that?
We were talking about coffee, right?
You were having coffee, yes. No, motherfucker. Yeah. Wait, boo. Boo you. Are you saying when I did that show and I came over your house and we did the coffee thing?
No. It was way before that.
Okay. Ah. That's true.
We met doing a Spike TV thing.
It's not
when
true.
You were coaching the show. Had just finished coaching
my
the
feelings,
show.
My feelings are hurt again.
Uh-oh.
Can I tell you when we met? I remember a good compliment.
Okay, let's
go.
You were drinking a coffee. I was walking past you, and I stopped. And, hey, Forrest, we never met. I'd assume you from the show. That's what I seen you from the show. And this was after I lost a Carol Parisian. And you go, hey, what's up, Matt? And you're like, hey, man, great arm lock escape. You said you enjoyed my fight. You gave me I lost. Yeah. I lost. That sucks. But you gave me compliments on the Carol Parisian fight, and you loved my arm lock escape. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Pressure.
The Parisian fight was UFC 52 or whatever. Yeah, the first time I ever saw you fight live.
It's true. It's true. And yeah, I lost. This phone call is full of bad memories. Do you understand?
Yeah, it was a great fight, though. You know, I lost some fights that were good fights, though. And I'm like, it was a pretty good fight until, you know, it wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember the arm lock escape? All right, listen, forget about the arm lock escape. Forrest. All right, listen, we gotta go soon. Did you enjoy the fights over the weekend? What the fuck did you think of that finish with the Korean Zombie?
I did. You know what, man? Korean Zombie got played a little bit. You notice Korean Zombie was confused with, why do we keep celebrating and hugging? Zombie should have just been like,
what the fuck's going on?
Like, you don't need to hug. You could tell Zombie didn't want to hug at like 11 seconds when Yair was getting all excited. Like, hey, friends, we're doing this good thing. Zombie was like, no, I want to fight. And I think that is why Zombie was pushing that pace so hard at the end and then ran into that beautiful elbow with a second left. Probably in the greatest finish of the UFC ever. I got to tell you, though, I was hoping it was a beautiful fight by Cerrone, but I thought that could just be such a great stand-up fight.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, with Cerrone and Perry?
Yeah, I just thought that could be the rock'em sock'em of all time. I think it's a good matchup stand-up wise. And you forget, what a beautiful sweep by Cerrone there to hold that arm. And you see Perry didn't recognize that the cowboy had the arm in time. And then he tried to use the athleticism, and then he got him bobbed. Anyway.
No, hey, man, he did initiate that takedown. But once he got it. But he's crafty on the floor. He's good on his back, Cowboy. Cowboy's got a very well-rounded jiu-jitsu game.
Yeah.
He's good on top and on bottom.
I'm afraid of zero people if I'm cross-eyed top. Let me put it that way. In MMA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I take you down by the lock, cross-eyed top. I'll take that. In the guard, maybe there's some people I don't love being there, but you know what I find, too, is it's when you're afraid of someone's guard and you try to pull out, that's when you end up getting in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
If you just kind of stay in, the old wrestler, hands on the biceps, occasionally throw an elbow in there, put your head in their chin, pop their elbows back, you can just stay there and be heavy on them and make them tired. And, you know, as they try to maybe, you know, rubber guard you and all that, you can just stay there, push them against the fence and be safe. And almost just like, lay on them until the ref stands you up. That would be my strategy against a real good jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you're in the guard between the legs, there's that, you know, that chance if you're with the wrong guy. Or even if you think you're with the right guy, just talk to Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva with that fucking laces out moment. Anyway, Forrest, listen, man, I could talk to you all day, Forrest Griffin. You know, but I think we'd be too depressed to end up killing ourselves.
Hey, you want to get more depressed? What are you weighing right now?
Hey, listen, motherfucker, I'm going to get happy. I'm going to get happy because I got people to witness this. I am under 200 pounds. I am like 195, 196. I have been not gluten-free, but light on the gluten. Listen, you brought this up. Now you got to hear it. Last night we got Italian food, Forrest, at the Sarah household. I had a whole pie for myself. Yeah, a personal gluten-free pie is what I had at the damn right I'm clapping. Damn right I'm applauding. Yes. I did the right thing. And then you know what I get? Because you asked, I got the veal. Now, you're thinking veal palm, fried. Forrest, you asked about this. Forrest, don't you hang up. You better listen. Forrest, you thought Shaquille was heavy. Listen to me. Listen, I got the veal and I got it baked, all right? Not fried. And then I get it dry. I don't get no sauce on it. A little mozzarella cheese. All right, listen, Forrest Griffin, thank you so much for calling. You tried to get a zinger at the end, but fucking touche, no, I got abs, motherfucker.
No, it's not that. So I was going to see if you were, I was thinking that you might actually be heavier than me because I'm actually depressed because I've lost like 15 pounds.
Oh, you're one of those guys that have to be heavy?
My joints are too garbage to do the thing where you lift weights in a repetitious fashion and attempt to gain muscle. So I don't really do that anymore.
How much you weigh?
I like 218, 217, but that's less than my junior year of high school.
Can I be honest with you? Before I lost the weight, we would have been the same weight.
Wow.
Because I was walking around. That's how I normally would walk around. Hold on. Look, I'm sitting down, Jamie.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So that's right. You hear what he said? I got some fucking abs, motherfuckers. All right. Now I'm happy. All right, Forrest, you cheered me up towards the end. You know, you kicked me in the nuts in the beginning. You dragged me through some mud. But we made it through, brother.
All right, man. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Jamie, it was great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Forrest. Cheers, mate.
Take care, Forrest. Hope to talk to you soon, man.
Take care.
All right, man. Thank you.
Later, brother. Bye. All right. The great Forrest Griffin, UFC Hall of Famer, former champion. Yes.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yes, very much.
Now, I believe, do we have one more call or no?
We do. We got a little late breaking. Paul Felder wants to join the show.
Let's talk to Paul Felder. And when is this fight going on with James Vick?
That is January 26th. I was just going to put this up for you. I have the information here.
January.
That's UFC 233, January 26th.
January 20th. I like that matchup. Yeah.
And that's rescheduled. They were supposed to fight.
And when he fought Perry,
yeah.
What did he get injured in that? A broken arm or something?
Yeah, he broke his right arm, I believe.
When? Do we know?
Yeah, first round, I think. Yeah.
Wow, but he went to a decision, right?
Yeah.
That's first impressive. Round.
Yeah.
Wow. So, let's give him a call, and let's talk about some of the fights, too, we had the other night.
Yeah, because he did commentary this weekend. So
all right. So we have that on there, and afterwards, I might have to put the other fights back on, I'll tell you. It is exciting. It is a jam-packed show.
It is absolutely
Paul Felder calling in. He just did the commentary over the weekend. He's good as a commentator.
Yep.
You know? Paul Felder, is that you?
It is.
What's up, buddy? It's Matt Serra, and we got Jamie English in studio today with me.
Hello, mate.
What's up?
Paul, listen, great. First of all, good job with the commentary, man. How do you feel now? You're doing like paper. This wasn't a pay-per-view the other night, but you did the pay-per-view the other night. You're feeling at home with that, aren't you?
Yes. It's. I think I'm starting to figure out how to do the preparation. When you first get these jobs, man, they can be overwhelming. You got, 12 to 14 fights on the card. It takes time to start to find, what information you need, how many fights to watch, and I feel like I'm starting to find my balance.
Now, is it like fighting or anything else where the more you do it, especially those in-the-cage interviews, I think that would probably be the most nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah.
Is that how do you, I mean, you just, how do you get more comfortable with that?
Well, I think that as for the in-cage interviews, I went to school for acting and, I did on camera work and had a lot of auditions in my lifetime. So that part's fun to me, getting in there and talking to the fighters. Producers help you out. They're in my ear. If there's something specific they want me to ask, they help me out with the questions. But ultimately, you got to just ask them questions and listen to them and kind of go with the moment, because everybody's different in there. Some people are talkers. Some people you can barely get a word out of. So you got to just kind of ride with it when you're in there.
Now, are you looking for them to – are you looking for any like, do you like it better? I like it better when they call somebody out. I think it makes it more exciting. And even if it's not in their nature, it is important to have it. Don't you feel it's important to have a name on the tip of your tongue to try to, for your career?
Yeah. You know what? I never really thought about that until I started doing this as much as I am now. And it really will help them out. If somebody has a name, even if you don't think it's somebody you can get, if you call that person out on television after a dominant performance, there's a damn good chance that is who you're going to get next. Obviously, if it's within reason, if I go in there and win and you know, call out Conor McGregor, it's like, well, you might not get that fight.
Yeah.
but if somebody in your division up the rankings within reason, then yeah, there's a good shot you're going to get that chance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that when you were interviewing the Tiger Schulman kid. What's his name? Trezano?
Yeah.
And he beat Pena. And I'm like, after that win, and that was, you know, people were looking forward to that fight because they were both on that Ultimate Fighter and whatnot. So after taking that dude out, beating him in a tough fight, it felt a little anticlimactic when you asked him. He's like, I don't call nobody out. And he seems like a nice kid.
Yeah.
So he just had a battle. Yeah. And the most important thing is he could fight.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be disrespectful. It just kind of helps when there's a name there.
Sure,
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could have really jumped on that opportunity because he had it wasn't a great showing for his finale. The other guy didn't really engage. It wasn't Dana White's favorite fight for sure.
Yeah.
So he gets another chance against, you know, Luis, who had a lot of hype behind him, and you had a really good performance and took him out, and that guy's a tough draw for anybody, and you beat him, and here you are. Yeah, so I think I also agree. It was a
world stage.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, I think that kind of exposes a gap there, actually, where sometimes you can see that, because fighting is fighting and everyone, you know, focuses on the technical aspects, but there is definitely room, and Forrest Griffin was just talking about that then, in the Institute, where you can have tests done at the Institute and things like that. You could also be advised, you know, by people who know about what you just said, acting and showbiz. There's nothing wrong with getting advice on how to carry yourself, especially after a fight, right? And when you're emotional, you might want to be able to use that energy to promote yourself, you know, instead of just, oh, I'm not that kind of guy. Well, sometimes you might have to be if you want to make some money in this game. You want to be getting attention to yourself.
As long as it's not cringeworthy.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you could get advice on it, right?
Speaking of cringeworthy, and I don't want that to come out the wrong way, because I like James Vick, but I'm thinking about James Vick's his lead up to his last fight with Gaethje, and some of that pre-fight talk was a little cringeworthy because it seemed out of character for the confident James Vick, who you will be fighting at UFC 233 on January 26th. I was excited when this was announced, Paul. I think this is a great fight.
Yeah.
What, cringeworthy or not, with that pre-fight shit, Vic's a dangerous dude. Tell me about your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I agree. I think, he tried to be something that maybe wasn't in his nature, and he got carried away with it, and it backfired on him, and that happens. But, you know, it got some hype on that fight, and if he would have won, we wouldn't be talking about that.
True.
So that's the risk in that kind of stuff. But I think we'll see a little less of that for our matchup, and it's not really something I do too much of. I mean, I speak with confidence. I know what I'm capable of. And I think we're going to let our fighting do the talking. But, if I can get through James January 26th, man, I'm definitely going to be looking to go after somebody up the rankings and keep moving up the ladder. That's where I want to be at. That's the reason I'm not just giving it up and living the sweet life, wearing pretty suits and talking to fighters. You know, I'm still trying to make a go at the top. If I didn't think I could be there, I'd retire right now. What would be the point in taking extra punches to the head at this point in my life?
No, for sure. And I'll tell you, your fight with Mike Perry, you broke your arm. Was that, which round did you break your arm in?
First.
Now you broke your arm in the first round. Okay. How did you, now that's fighting another 10 minutes with a broken arm, 10 minutes and change, depending on when it happened in the first. Was there, now, you knew right away it was broke, or were you just saying, all right, there's a situation here?
Well, when it broke, I'd say a couple minutes into the first round.
Oh.
And I knew something was wrong, but the adrenaline was still kind of getting me through it. And then when I sat down in the corner, I was trying to close my hand and make a fist, and I could feel crunching in my forearm, and I couldn't make a solid fist because of the break in my arm. And that's when I knew it was broken. I knew that wasn't crunching from, you know, muscle damage or something like that.
How much did that change the game plan in general? I mean, and you're, oh, I mean, you were one armed. I mean, you had, which arm was it? I'm sorry.
My right arm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So
it changed a lot of stuff, because one of the things that we worked on when we switched from James Vick to fighting Mike Perry was obviously what you saw Cowboy just do the other night. We wanted to get the fight at some point in the throughout the match on the ground, use ground and pound, and try to get him to open up and make a mistake and look for submissions. But I had to kind of use a kick-heavy game, a lot of jabs, a lot of footwork, which was part of the game plan anyway, to bait him into throwing big punches. And it just kind of all fell apart because I couldn't defend right. I couldn't defend my own, you know, defend his takedowns. So it kind of just messed everything up, and I just had to throw what I could.
Well, I'll tell you, as a fighter, man, you definitely sucked it up and had a good poker face, because I didn't even realize until I was told afterwards, man. So
did you see Mike Perry's x-ray that's going around?
No, I didn't see the x-ray. Find that thing, Chris, the producer.
I'll find it right now.
He's going to find that now. But boy, how did that thing look?
It looks, if this is really his arm, I'd say it's 100 times worse than my arm.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you, he did get a good bite on that. And with the gloves, it kind of catches. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where a guy goes to pull out and it kind of... And at one point, I thought he was going to step over, kind of like what Yoda did earlier.
Yeah, right.
I think it was Yoda who did it with Cooper. I might be off with that. But
it is an injury. An injury like that is a game changer in a fight. Like I broke my arm once in a fight in two places, and I know exactly what. From my experience, I know exactly what you mean. You kind of want to go on, but it's like...
Shit, man. Well, while he's looking that up... Now, you originally thought that the Korean Zombie was that he did a headbutt until you saw the replay with that crazy elbow. Paul, I've seen a lot of fights. I've never repped or seen anybody rep that elbow. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Never. I've seen a lot of up elbows, but it's usually up with your lead hand, or never dipping your head down and just throwing your arm up behind you. From my angle, so I was behind the Korean Zombie as he charged forward with his combo. So all I saw was Yair dip down, disappear, and then Korean Zombie just face plant. So what I thought was he dipped down to dodge the punch and pop back up, and I thought his head came right up on the chin of Zombie. But in the replay, I was wrong, man. That was just a perfectly timed, wacky, never seen before elbow.
Well, I mean, I wonder if he even reps that. I never, when I seen the replay on that so many times, I was amazed. And I'll tell you, Paul, if that happened in a movie, you're not believing it.
Yeah.
When they do that and then he's face planted at the bell. I mean,
that's bullshit.
It's amazing, man. It is just amazing. But that was a wild night. And there was, Dana said there was a couple of fights where a couple of stinkers. I don't know, man. With the Duluth, what is it? Which fight was that?
Benil Dariush.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, when they stopped it a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't mind a battle for position, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Benil needed a win, man. He was the top 10, top 15 guy. He went on a loss, draw, bad knockout. I can't fault that man for just being like, you know what, let me just get back in the win column, and then I'll be more exciting after this one. Yeah, he played it safe. He did, but I don't blame him, and he won the fight, and that is what he needed to do for himself.
Now, when all's said and done with everything, do you think about going back into acting, or is that just something for another
100%.
Time? Really?
I'm trying to figure out my way in, and now I'm going to start getting more aggressive with it, probably, more towards when I really know when I'm going to be done fighting, which isn't yet. But as I start really thinking about moving on in my career, I'll always want to do the color commentary. I want to do a lot of that. I think I can do that and still look to pursue acting. But it's something I'm going to have to really focus on when I know I'm not going to be in training camps for 8 weeks at a time. And something I 100% will get back to.
And where are you? Are you living in LA or no?
No, I live in Philly right now.
You're over here.
So cool. I'll have to figure all that kind of stuff out. So that's something I'll have to start seeking out, agents and things like that. I've got some things going on that we're trying to figure stuff out. But
and what is it about? I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
No, that's it.
I was going to say, what is it about being in front of the camera that you enjoy? Because obviously you enjoy it and you're good at it. I don't know about the acting. I've never seen it. But, the commentary, the fighting. I mean, you're in front of all the, crowds, cameras. What is it about the acting?
Man, I fell in love with it in high school, and I decided to take an acting class. And I truly got bit by the bug, like they say. And ever since then, it's a rush. It's the same,
similar with fighting. You get in front of that. It's a different rush, but I just like performing. I like being the center of attention in that kind of way and putting on a show, whether it's acting or fighting or commentary. Something I've enjoyed ever since that first acting class back in my junior year of high school.
That's awesome, man. Because in high school, you think like, you know, the guys that are in like the Glee Club or whatever those things are. I don't know. It's been a while. Listen, I'm older. I haven't been to school for a while. But
I had plenty of guys that would bust my balls back then, man, that are probably looking at me now being like, oh shit, he would have kicked my ass. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, you know, they're going to try to mess with this little redheaded kid, and they're going to get their ass kicked.
St. John Newman High School and Ridley High School.
That's funny.
Go F yourselves for messing with me back then. And hope you're enjoying your former glory days of high school football that turned into nothing.
That's all, they're all fat on a bar stool watching you on there.
They're drunk beating their lives right now.
Let me ask you your thoughts with the Chaz Skelly and the Bobby Moffitt finish there. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think about that?
In the moment, I agreed. It looked like he was starting to maybe go out, but I also am with Chaz Skelly in the fact that if he hasn't tapped. He's not. He hasn't been. If he was even close to being out, it certainly wasn't long. So I think the ref could have given him more of a fighting chance to either start to really pass out and then wake him back up. It's not like he's knocked out or taking damage from punches. You know this is a long time jiu-jitsu guy. He's going to be okay as long as you catch it not too long. You know what I mean? And he kind of just shook his arm a little bit. But in the moment, yeah, I was just as confused, man. It's one of those things. I know they're looking out for the safety of the fighters, but I do feel bad for Chaz Skelly. It's a shame for Bobby Moffitt, too, who had a beautiful darts joke that kind of has all this muddy, you know, hindsight look to it now where we don't know if he was going to get it or not. So he's kind of, you know, doesn't really get his full glory from that submission as well.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Kevin Lee versus Michael Chiesa fight.
Like they might have gone to sleep anyway.
Yeah, because I feel I feel that wasn't that bad of a call. But it's weird because when they do stomp it, they immediately, when they release it and the blood comes back, they're just right back awake. Or if they were even about to go out, they're right back. And they're like, wait, I'm fine. And it's a weird, weird thing. Like with this last one with Moffitt, I seen him, like when he went to go move the arm, I'm like, all right. And then he came back to life. And it's like, you kind of feel for the ref because he did touch that arm for a second. And the arm didn't, it's not like he was like waving or giving a,
The ref
was
in a tough position.
Not moving. And Chaz says he was just trying to relax his breathing. And I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. That one's not going to be figured out today.
Yeah, tough one.
All right, man. Listen, well, I'm looking forward to your fight coming up. You know, that's, you know, Vic had that last, besides that last fight, man, he was on a fucking tear. Is that his only loss? Is that right? He has two losses. Who did he lose before that?
Got knocked out by Beneil too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. All right. But hey, listen, he's one hell of a fighter, just like you, Paul Felder. And you're right. And you're still out here, man. Please, next time, if you're ever around this city, let me know and jump in studio with us. Hang out.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd love to.
Awesome, Felder. All right, Paul, man. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, Paul.
No, thanks, man. It was great talking to you guys.
Definitely. I'll run into you soon, man. Take care, Paul.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see you on the road for sure,
man. Later, buddy.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, Paul. Paul Felder. I was going to say the underrated Paul Felder because people don't talk about him enough, and I think he's dangerous as shit, man. If you want to see a guy with will, first of all, look at his fight with Perry. It takes on a whole different meaning when you see the guy did the last two rounds in a competitive fight in a weight class above he normally fights with a broken arm
with Mike Perry as well.
Yeah, it makes you look at it a little differently. Yeah, you know what I mean?
For sure.
And that's something that I'm glad was brought to my attention because it didn't stand out with me. Sometimes you just remember the result.
Right.
And then you look deeper and you're like, all right, that dude had a one arm.
Yeah. Right. I mean, which he was still throwing throughout. That's why.
And he was still throwing throughout.
Yeah.
Besides that, his fight with the other one, Charles Oliveira, comes to mind. Go throw that in Fight Pass.
Yeah.
Tell me if you're not impressed with that.
Nice.
He went through a machine gun fire of submissions and he got through it all and won that fight.
Yeah.
And Paul Felder's a stud. All right. Listen, what else do we got?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we kind of covered everything. I mean, we can go over our picks quickly, let's talk about that quick.
Yeah. Let's do that quick.
We all had, Jim and Matt had Yair Rodriguez by second round and first round knockout. I had Korean Zombie by second round submission. I thought he'd be able to take Yair down, which is something me and Jamie were talking about before the show started. Like, obviously, you don't know coming off that Frankie loss. He's been out a year and a half. How has he improved? He really improved because Korean Zombie couldn't take him down at all, Yair, and then he obviously was able to keep it standing. So you guys had that correct, and I got that one wrong.
What a great fight.
Amazing fight. One of the best ever, really.
It was something else.
You had Mike Perry by second round knockout. Jimmy had Cowboy by decision. I had Cowboy by second round knockout. And obviously he was able to
first round submission. That was something else. Did you find the picture of that thing?
No, I'm not seeing it anywhere. I think
it's BS. It might be BS.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it on any sites. Right.
Really, it might be something silly where an arm's just in half or something. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't talk about this fight. Raquel Pennington and Jermaine Durandamé. You guys had Raquel Pennington by submission. I had Jermaine by second round knockout. Obviously, she won by decision.
Wait, you had what now?
I had Jermaine by second round knockout. She won by decision. You guys had Raquel by submission.
I wasn't crazy about that fight.
Right? Yeah.
A lot of it was up against the fence. It wasn't especially distinctive.
That was one of the stinkers, right? I think he was talking about, you know. I wasn't crazy about it. All right, but go ahead. Now, what about the next one?
Then the Macy Barber, Hannah Cyphers fight.
You skipped over, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we didn't pick Dariush Moises fight because that replaced Borg and Benavidez off the card. Right. Macy Barber, we all had her picked. You guys had her by decision. I had her by third round knockout. She obviously finished in the second round. And then you guys both had Mike Trezano. Matt, you had Trezano by decision.
Thank you.
Which he ended up winning by decision.
Jimmy
had Trezano by first round knockout, and I had Pena by decision. I went 3-for-5. You went 3-for-5. Fucking Jimmy went 4-for-5.
Jimmy went 4-for-5?
Jimmy! Yeah.
Fuck, did that guy go 4-for-5?
Jimmy!
I know. Yeah, he always does really well.
My little bird.
But anyway, for the month, we're all 6 out of 10.
Oh! This month's a draw. This month's a draw. Hey, this month's a draw. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to Disney.
Disney?
Yeah.
You should use that voice. Florida one. You should use that voice. You've got a gift.
What voice?
That singing voice.
Oh, thank you.
He uses
I can sing
lot.
Some more. I use it. Chris, the producer's thinking I should use it a little
you
less.
You know, a lot of people think those sound effects are done by a machine. It's not.
No.
That's all Matt.
Yeah, what
people
is this,
don't
what
know
is this one? That's not for you, though, because I love you. Aww. But let me tell you something. I'm going to Disney. Is it sad that I had to get a cortisone shot to get through this fucking thing? Wife's telling me to jump in a fucking wheelchair thing, the motorized one. I got my big 300-pound brother-in-law coming with me. He was going to push me in a wheelchair. I go, are you out of your minds?
Oh, wow.
I'm not doing this shit. People know me, man. You don't think that's going to make Instagram or Twitter?
Day two, you're going to be in a car.
Me? Yeah. No, I'm walking
around.
Watch
how quick that's
I got a shot of cortisone. I got a little booby on my knee again. Are you going back to Henzo's? What are you doing now?
I want to do whatever you want me. Do you want to get some pizza?
Are you no, cocksucker.
Oh, sorry.
What about Forrest Griffin looking to set me up? Moon. He's looking to set me up as a fat guy.
He's a clever man.
And I had
the
old Rochambeau on him. He didn't know I lost weight. Did you see my abs when I lifted my shirt?
That was impressive.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wanted to touch him, but I didn't.
That's good. Show restraint.
Jamie, don't touch my abs.
For the UFC Unfiltered Army...
yes.
You can hit the car crash or whatever. This is the only episode we have this week because
what?
It just worked out. Jimmy's in LA. You're going to Florida. Yeah. So that's it. So we'll be back next week.
Show's going to shit.
Damn it.
That's good. This was a good episode.
The show's going to shit.
Well, you know. I'm here now.
I care about the show. Where's Jimmy? I care about the show. Where's Jimmy?
Is he abandoned you?
Why am I giving Jimmy shit? I got to go to Disney for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. Are you guys going to call me when I'm out there?
Absolutely.
Please.
Sure. We definitely can.
Please do. All right? All right, people, listen. I don't know when we're coming back. No, listen, we'll be back next week. And I got a lot of... I'll be in Disney. And boy, is it fun when I'm at Disney because I have a lot of stories. But I will not have one Mickey pretzel. I promise you. And before you guys start... No, you don't got to clap. But listen to me. Thank you. Thank you. I want to stick to my diet. Yeah. I do. Who needs gluten? Not this guy. Jamie, what do you want to promote, Jamie? What do you want to plug?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Be good to each other.
That's it, Jamie?
It's good, that, wasn't it?
That's great. Yeah.
Be good to each other?
Be good to each other.
Be kind to each other?
Yeah, do jiu-jitsu. Do some Thai boxing. Be good to each other.
You really should be good to a show. I've been doing this show for over 2 years. I was looking for a catchphrase, and I think you just came up with one. I was going to say, like, be excellent to each other, and I was going to say I made it up, but then somebody's going to watch Bill and Ted and realize that it was them.
Yeah.
All right.
I know what you mean.
But I just don't want to go now, but I got to go.
Well,
usually it's Jimmy, like, at 1 foot out the door.
He's pretty
and then standing. He's like, I'm fine. No, I'm not in a rush. No, I'm fine. I just got somebody coming to the apartment. That's like Jimmy does my voice. That's his little bird voice. I miss Jimmy. I don't want to attack him. Jamie, thank you for hanging out with me.
Thank you for
that. If you're in Long Island, New York, Jamie,
yeah,
try sarahbjj.com.
I think you should.
You know?
Change your life.
Or if you want a Sarah t-shirt. I don't know.
I do. I mean, it's been 2 years. I haven't
got one. Oh, you looking for one?
Yeah, I'd love one.
I'm going to come up with different mugs and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to sell out.
You sure?
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to me. And Jamie, for listening to me. Anything else in closing, guys? The music's playing. You don't hear it, but it's playing. Jamie?
Well, thanks for listening.
Look at me. No eye contact. My Hall of Famer. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's not my business.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.